Is First Republic Bank the next SVB? Hello and welcome. Today we are in the news mode. Dude, I couldn't wait for this. Amazing, amazing. Okay, we have already covered the SVB situation a couple episodes back, and today we opened our browsers in the morning to find the headlines filled with First Republic Bank. Robert, what the heck is happening?
The bank reported on Monday that its total deposits fell 41% in the first quarter, sending its stock to record lows. Shares fell nearly 30% on Wednesday after plunging by 49% on Tuesday. It's also reported that they had more than $100 billion plunge in deposits in the last quarter. Briefly going through this chart, we can see from the all-time high of $225, we are now at a measly $3.50. And if we just check the percentage of the drop, it's around 98%. And they say investing in crypto is dangerous, huh?
Just wanted to say, I'm so familiar with these charts. I saw that situation a long time ago. Not with the bank, but with something else.
So, in addition to this, when the banking crisis erupted, about two-thirds of First Republic deposits were uninsured with the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. That's lower than the 94% at Silicon Valley Bank. At the end of last year, First Republic had an exceptionally high ratio of 111% for loans and long-term investments to deposits. According to S&P Global, this means it has loaned and invested more money than it has in deposits. That also deepens the impact of uninsured funds.
Definitely not a shiny situation. So, whilst prepping for this episode, we found out that a bank in this situation usually has three options.
Yes, and the first one is to stay on course, shortest and easiest ones, maybe kind of risky. It means waiting for its securities and loans to mature. The second one... Yeah,
to get the money back and be like a Titanic. So hope that you're on the right course and not hit the iceberg.
Yes. The second one is appealing to big banks. So what this means is they try to sell off some of its loans and securities at the same cost they bought them for. In exchange, the buyer would receive a preferred equity interest in the company. That would be a difficult sell for the big banks as the assets would have to go for above market rate. In addition, if First Republic fails, the FDIC will likely want to avoid a systematic risk and offer insurance to all depositors, even those without insurance. And that's what happened at SVB. That will cost a bunch of money and it will be funded mostly by large banks, costing them tens of billions of dollars. And what's funny, we've already seen some headlines in, I'm not sure if funny is the right word, in the style of bankers pitch to save First Republic. Help us now or pay more later when it fails, aiming at the option to purchase bonds from First Republic at above market rates for a total loss of a few billion dollars. Or face roughly $30 billion in FDIC fees when the First Republic fails.
That's a super difficult decision. But we have also the option number three, and it's being feared by all the investors, and it is that the First Republic goes into receivership. When a struggling bank goes into a receivership, that actually means that a regulatory authority or a government agency, somebody, takes control of the bank and its assets, usually with a very short-term goal of just liquidating all the assets to repay its creditors.
And that's also exactly what happened at Silicon Valley Bank on March 10th, when the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation took possession and closed Silicon Valley Bank. And on March 12th, Signature Bank was closed by New York State Department of Financial Services. Both were put into receivership of the FDIC, which sold off the banks at a steep discount.
Yep, and the whole purpose was to make all depositors whole, so to return their money. What's important here is that the shareholders were not compensated. They lost everything. And the President Joe Biden made it clear at the time that he had no interest in protecting investors. We have a significant quote here, and it goes like this. They knowingly took a risk, and when the risk didn't pay off, investors lose their money. That's how capitalism works.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, guys.
Mic drop.
Yeah. This has a huge impact on investors at the moment. They are feared, and they don't know whether to go with number two and help the First Republic, but eventually they could lose their investments if the company goes under. What to do now?
Yeah, it seems we are passing the point of no return as news hits the headline that the U.S. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, is preparing to place First Republic Bank under receivership, the third option you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Not sure what will come out of this, but could this be another hit for the regional banks?
That's a very good question that we asked ourselves during preparing this episode. For this episode, let me give you a short overview of how I see the banking system, U.S. banking system at the moment. First of all, we are based in EU. We don't have an in-depth knowledge, but after some research, my understanding is as follows. At the moment in USA, you've got some big banks. Examples are Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and so on. They were, or still are, infamous for not treating their small customers with care and love they're looking for because they're, well, focusing on larger customers. That created a market space where those customers fled, and that space was filled by smaller regional banks that were treating their customers with more high-touch attention. Similar thing happened in Europe, where we have a lot of national banks, but in the past few years, we've got Revolut, N26, and so on, which offer a much better banking experience. So that created a very tangible reason why you didn't want to be a customer of a bigger bank, unless you were absolutely huge. But when you're doing that, when you're switching companies, when you're switching banks, there's always a price you pay. And those smaller companies traded the security of a big bank for a more personal care. Today, they just want the stability. They want the insurance that their money won't just disappear overnight. Yep. Granted, this is really simplified way to put it, and it's definitely not the only way to manage money, to manage the risks. But on the other hand, a lot of companies did just that. We saw that with SVB. A lot of companies ran to bigger bank for security. That was the whole point of the SVB bank run. And that poses an interesting question, maybe for a future episode, but it's a very interesting discussion. Is there a long-term existential threat to smaller companies, to smaller banks, just because of that security aspect?
Yeah. And with that question, I would wrap it up here. And let's say we'll see where the future takes us. It will be interesting to see how this develops. Let us know in the comments below what you think will happen. We'll catch you in the next one.
Ciao.